Hi all, good afternoon. First off, I'm very glad that we're having this second edition of the Robotics and Simulation Dev Room. Also, thank you to the excellent organization so far. My name is Arne. I work as a robotics engineer at Intermodalics. And today I would like to share a bit about modeling vehicle dynamics, as well as a little simulator I built. Quick question, who of you has already used Nav2, the navigation, ROS navigation stack in some capacity? Okay, yes, I see quite a few hands, especially there. Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise. Okay, so I will start with a little story related on that. So I was working with Nav2 with a mobile platform in simulation, and everything was progressing really well. Like, maneuvers looked nice and efficient, like you see here on the red trajectory on the slide. Then we got a real platform out, and something not too dissimilar from this blue mess arose. Like, maneuvers were at once like taking twice as long, and it's a bit weird because when we compared the real platform and the one that we had in simulation, yeah, the real platform reacted a bit more slowly, but there wasn't that much difference. What was actually happening is that the controller was making errors, correcting them, and again and again, amplifying that little error. Of course, we could spend time and effort and improve the simulation, though we also ran into some other observations, like this is what we noticed once we launched the simulator. And this is without like the nodes that we want to test even running, like we still had to launch Nav2. And it gets worse once you start using your simulation in automated testing, because then you're often not that sure on what compute you will be running on or what other tasks will be running on that server, resulting in failed tests, and that gets really frustrating really fast. Of course, ROS has something for this. It's called use sim time, though one starts to wonder why can't simulation just be efficient and run at wall clock like any real life system does? If you look at like companies and hobbyists alike, they often see, or at least I often see, is that like there's a lot of effort in simulation. Actually, the returns aren't that great. I can but say like simulation doesn't deliver, and honestly, that's really sad because I believe that it can be a formidable tool and like accelerate your development considerably. So started thinking a bit, yeah, what can we change to make simulation more accessible? Of course, yeah, some applications have some inherent complexity that warrant all the effort, though what if we like look for a simulator focused on Nav2 controller development and tuning? What can we do? First, what I believe is important is realistic dynamics. Like, I'm fine with having to configure a few parameters, but do I really have to code a 1,000-line C++ plugin for just my four-wheeled Ackermann vehicle? Related to that, like parameter values, I have my real platform, and now I have to put parameter values in my simulator to represent that platform. Which value should I choose? Like, how do I go from that real-life platform to a simulator that is representative? Related laborious setup, like, I wonder why, for example, some simulators, they rely on putting parameters in a URDF. Now, if you want to parameterize your tests, that is not very straightforward. Something like ROS2 parameters would be quite welcome there. If we're simulating kinematics and dynamics, maybe we can as well do also localization and using the Rep 105 map autumn base convention. And finally, I'd be a bit efficient. I would like to just run on my laptop fine. Well, basically, these four things are the key features of the new little simulator I wrote, Vehicle Dynamics Sim. I propose that I now cover briefly what we're actually modeling. When we look at like vehicle dynamics, it gets pretty complicated pretty fast. For example, if you have a rolling tire and a horizontal force on the tire, that tire will slip slightly. And of course, one can parameterize that, but those actual parameter values depend on things like rubber type, floor type, and so on. Basically, if you don't know the parameter values, then all that complex math is pretty useless. In short, I have to make a trade-off between, on the one hand, ease of use, and on the other hand, physical realism. I chose to go with these three physical effects: dead time, acceleration limit, and low pass time constant. Let's start with the first one, dead time. So this is the duration between your controller applying a velocity or other reference and the system exhibiting a significant response. Now, in a well-designed system, this is a matter of milliseconds, so most of the time negligible. Though what we actually see is that even like big expensive platforms from like big companies, they have like dead times in the range of a tenth or two tenths of a second. And when it's that large, it significantly decreases your system stability. And it's also one of the key reasons for control overshoot. Next, acceleration limits. So your platform, it has tires, and those can only exert a finite force on the floor. And as a result, your acceleration of your platform is also limited. And that means that it takes some time to decelerate. Now, where is this critical? Well, it influences the time to stop, and it's just critical for things like obstacle avoidance, but also safety in general. If you want to do safety well, it's really good to know your acceleration limits. Finally, the third one, low pass time constant. So this arises from that the motor controller, like the velocity feedback controller, it has finite gains, and its control output is proportional to the velocity error, and this gives this like cyan curve we see there on the left in the graph. Overall, it makes the system react a bit slower. It's a bit similar to dead time, though it's more gradual. Great, so we have three parameters. How do we determine them? Well, good news, that's pretty straightforward. So what we do is, well, we take our system, we apply a velocity set point, like a step reference. We measure our velocity using like wheelodometry or something. We plot that with a tool like a plot juggler. Then we will see something very similar to the graph on the left. And then it's just a matter of like taking the measuring the parameters from the graph, put them in the simulation, and have in the simulation something that is pretty similar. I do normally have a little demo video and also a little bit of time. Sure. Yes, okay. Did you download it or something? No. Okay, no worries. So normally there was a demo video of NAV2, but you can look at it on the website. Okay. Thanks a lot, everyone, for your attention.